Hey everyone, today we are talking about how to host the fam. Doesn't have to be so insanely crazy, promise. If I can do it, you can do it. And what that looks like. And the sometimes bullshit decisions, Jesus, that we see being made all around us. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some real shit advice going on from Kevin Hart and his new book, Decision, and how maybe we can make the best decisions in our lives. Let's go.
Gotta get it how it goes now. You gotta take it off the nose. It's off the nose. Gotta get back in control now. Let's stop believing in ourselves. It's off the nose.
Okay, so last night, I hosted my family. So in my world, this is a big deal. I'm no Martha Stewart. I'm not so comfortable in the kitchen or anything else domestically, but I do love having people over, and it was my son's birthday, and he loves having stuff at the house versus going out. And I grew up, we would go out. That's what I'm used to. So try to change those, you know, things that we grew up with and try to get better as we get older. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, hosted the fam. I'm like, I can do this, you know, and I believe you can too. So if hosting really gets you freaking crazy, it doesn't have to be. We can do this. I promise, you know. Yes, you have to get ready, right? There's some prep. I mean, you've got to buy TP. You got to check all your bathrooms. You got to have the TP. You got to have the alcohol. I mean, really, the alcohol is probably critical, because all else fails, you have the alcohol. You got to do a good clean. Yeah. So whether it's you or you hire somebody, but you got to do the good clean. You know, a few extras are okay. You know, sweep at the front door. Right? I mean, it's the only time I do sweep at the front door. So sweep at the front door, look, you know, you look a little bit more domestic. You know, have a playlist ready, right? You've got the music and the alcohol and food, I'd say. But anyway, have the playlist ready, you got the speakers ready, you know, like as if you do this every day, right? You walk in and it's like boom, boom, boom. You hit it on your iPhone and music fills your house and your house smells good, right? This is your everyday. This is Tuesday night for you. It's no biggie, okay? You can trick people, all right? So get a little incense or a candle that smells good, something right at the front door. Okay, you got the music on, not too loud, right? Just a nice groove. You've got the alcohol out. It's all good. You can do this. So then the food. I'm not cooking, all right? I can barely cook for myself and my son, and I'm not cooking. It's not happening. Yeah, I'm scared. I'm fucking scared is what I am, and there's no way I'm cooking. I think my food's good. I love my food. My son eats my food. He doesn't really have a choice, so I think he thinks it's good, but I'm not trying out my, you know, veggie burger and my Beyond Meat sausage. And what else do I have? What other tricks up my sleeve? I can make chicken fried rice. Actually, I make damn good for chicken fried rice and French toast, but I'm not hosting breakfast. So it's just limited. And then you got the whole, like, how to keep it warm and, you know, the timing and how do you talk to people? Because I really just want to have a cocktail and talk to everybody, not, you know, be in the kitchen. So I say cater. You got to cater. But it doesn't have to be like cater, like high-end cater. Just order the damn food and have it delivered. Okay? This is easy. Now, a couple times ago, I ordered from Bite Squad, Grubhub, DoorDash, whatever one you use. Don't use those when you're hosting, okay? Hour and a half late, a disaster. So go straight to the restaurant. But gotta cater. Last night we did like super fresh, healthy food. It was awesome. It came in containers, open up the containers, put freaking serving spoons in each one. Happy day. All right. Use real dishes, people. Use real dishes. Don't use plastic. God help me. Do not use the, you know, utensils and the serving ware that the restaurant sends home. No, just tell them you don't need it, right? Or just put it right in the recycle bin. Use real dishes. Yes, this may be the day you do dishes. That's right, but you're going to, okay? Real dishes, real napkins, linens, whatever. Don't use the cheap paper towel crap, right? This is your moment. Everyone thinks what they think about you in your from your domestic side, right? So it's your moment to shine, and it's a few little simple things, and your guests leave with a whole new impression of you. You can fake them out, all right? So we got the candle by the door, we got the swept doorway, we got a little playlist going, you know, choose something, whatever the groove is for the night. I chose The Weeknd last night and Post Malone Station. So whatever works for you. All right, get the vibe going. Alcohol's out, real dishes. The food has been brought to you directly from the restaurant. Serving spoons are out. We're good, right? This is awesome. So, and then it just moves and grooves and the night is great. Have a great dessert. Again, this is not difficult. This was a birthday celebration. I went to Whole Foods. They made a cookies and cream cake. I put something funny on the writing, you know? That's it. Candles, don't forget the candles, because I forgot the candles before, so that kind of sucks when you gotta like put an incense stick in and call it a birthday candle. So candles are critical, but this is not a lot of stuff. Now, I am making it sound super simple because I have figured out how to make it super simple. I've not always been that way, and I'd be totally lying if even for last night's fam get together, I didn't have, I want to say 30 seconds, but it was more like 3 hours of totally wanting to redo my house. I thought, oh my God, okay, I can become a gardener in 3 hours, right? And I can put new plants by the front door and all around the pool. And oh my God, I can do this. I really can do this. Now, where do I go get plants? And do I have to like have gardening gloves? So that was sort of a distraction. Then I'm looking around the whole house. I was like, oh my God, I never put something on that wall. I need something on that wall. What goes on that wall? Well, now I'm moving stuff around from walls to walls, other walls. This is not smart, but I would be lying if I said I didn't do it. You know, are the appropriate amount of pictures out? Is everybody represented? Okay, the fam that's coming over probably looks a lot like your fam, okay? We've got an ex. The ex has a girlfriend. So she's 20 years younger. That's okay, right? We're very Hollywood here. We've got ex-stepdaughter who's 25-ish. We've got, you know, little mixing going on. Little Demi Bruce, Gwyneth, Chris Martin, whatever. It's really what everybody looks like today, but that's how we roll, and it's all good, and we're all happy, one big happy family, and it's great, and everybody gets along. It was a little odd. I mean, you look at the girlfriend. So this girlfriend's new and super sweet. Love her. Kids love her. I love her. Awesome. Okay. My fam's meeting her for the first time. So she's got to deal with all of that. And then someone's idea is to talk about stories of my son. So we're talking about, you know, birth stories. Probably not appropriate, but again, it's where the alcohol comes in. Can't really control where the stories go. She was smiling through it. I can't imagine. She's probably thinking, this dude better have more money than I even thought he had, or this is really fucked up. But anyway, she was great. The stories were great. The dinner was great. Everything was great. I had candles. Did not have a lighter. Interesting enough, could not find a lighter. But the incense lit by the stove worked just fine. You know, you got a little bit of that incense on the cake, but nobody noticed. And everybody ate everything and loved it. And we cleaned off, I don't know, 4 bottles of wine. And it was fabulous. So, you know, we got down to the end. We did the gifts. And the kid racked up money and checks. And that's awesome. You know, one thing I will say, I love giving lottery tickets. I think it's just a fun gift. It's sort of a what if. And, you know, we're in it together as if they're going to split it. So he was turning 20, so I got $20 lottery cards. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know shit about the lottery. I go to the damn machine at the Wawa, and there's $5 and $10 and $15. I think there's even $3, $2. I'm like, okay, logic tells me the more you pay, the higher the opportunity to win something, right? I mean, just seems to make sense. Otherwise, why would anybody pay for the higher ones? So the payout has to be more, and I'm hoping the probability is more. So anyway, five $20 lottery tickets turns 20. That was his gift. And scratching like 800 little freaking things later, thank you to my niece. And the one $20. So invest 100, win 20. I don't think I won on that thing. I thought at least he'd win, I don't know, $100. Anyway, $20 to a 20-year-old is a tank of gas. So he was thrilled, but I thought it was a little bit bullshit. So that was the hosting of the fam last night. And I believe in all of you. And if you don't like to do it, I know you can do it. I did it, and all is well in the world, and everybody left with a smile on their face, and I think they were impressed, you know? Walls were covered, house smelled good, food was good. I mean, yeah, I think they're thinking differently about me this morning. So what else is going on? So moving on. The show is called Off the Nose, and we do like to talk about extraordinary people and situations in the world, and we like to, you know, shake things up and make sure everyone's thinking with new perspective, right? Not to get everybody down, but how do we not talk about a very off-the-nose decision, if you will? This dumbass, I don't even know what word appropriately describes this dude, but the dumbass who thought it made sense to kneel on a guy's neck and sit there for 8 minutes, I think it was, only to have this guy die, you know, hours later, I guess, at the police station. Yes, I'm talking about George Floyd. You know, thoughts and prayers to the family. It's horrific. And just coming on the heels of, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, who's out for a jog, you know, because when I go out for a jog, I worry about police, you know, pulling me over and or random people lighting me up in the street. I mean, no, I don't. And that's a freaking problem is what it is. This George Floyd guy, I mean, it's police brutality. It's just, it's beyond that, right? I mean, back in my day, my first, I guess, exposure maybe to something like that was Rodney King. So anybody who is my age might remember Rodney King. I think it was 91. I was in college, and, you know, he was beaten, not to death, but beaten to an extreme amount. And they caught someone just out on their balcony, you know, caught it on video and sent it to the news. And so that was sort of my first exposure to that. Sure, there were little things kind of in life that I might see. You know, I had a black friend, girlfriend in high school who always sort of had a chip on her shoulder and I didn't quite get it. And so, you know, I always wondered like why she so pissed off a lot. But I grew up with all races around and we were a basketball family and we hosted hundreds of all colors to play basketball at our house, you know, every Sunday night. So my parents were always helping, you know, different people, all races, different races. So I don't know. I didn't really see much of that. I can't say that my dad wanted me to date a different race. So there was that, right? And so, of course, I did because that's what you do. But this just infuriates me. And I don't know. This isn't what I do. I'm not educated on it. I don't know. Is there more police brutality towards blacks than whites or Chinese or anybody else? I think there is. Certainly what we hear about and see a lot. So regardless, to me, the brutality is brutality and it's fucked up in many ways. And what are we going to do about it? And seriously, this is still happening? Like, really? And then I see it's Minneapolis and I thought, really? I mean, in the South, it's not that we accept it, but you know, we think, oh, it's multi-generational and they're going to work it out, you know, but Minneapolis, it's just bizarre and just bullshit. It's generational shit, I guess. Power trips and, you know, I don't know how we change it. I'm not a fan of the rioting going on, you know, stealing shit from Target isn't going to make police brutality or racism go away. So probably not the best move, you know? I mean, good chance to get some free shit, but probably, you know, the protesting, I'm all about that. And if I live in Minneapolis, I would have been right there with them protesting because you do have to make a statement. I mean, right? I mean, how do you stop this crap? And you know what? Here's the crazy shit. This guy's not even in jail. I mean, as of the time I'm doing this podcast, wasn't even put in jail. I mean, isn't that sort of a go immediately to jail card deal? So that's just insane. There should be zero tolerance. There's no excuses. You know, I don't think we need to go backwards and make up for the sins of the past because different generations believed in different things, right? I mean, there was discrimination towards women, towards blacks, towards lots of things. And so let's not go backwards, but let's certainly make it right. Let's make it right now and go forward. And this kind of stuff should not be tolerated. In today's age with this, you know, amount of knowledge we have and social media and I mean, we know better. We know better. So making a decision to do the right thing, you know what's right. And even in a state, right, let's say this dumbass, I don't know his name. I don't want to know his name. I wouldn't say his name if I knew it. Let's just say he was scared shitless. He's scared for his life. He, you know, because it's got to be tough to be a cop, right? You're out on the street. You don't know what you're coming up against. There is craziness going on in the world. And so I could see, you know, coming at everything with fear and some assumptions and things. But where is that thing in your head that's supposed to click and say, that's good. I got him. He's in cuffs. I'm not in fear. Therefore, now due process can take place and move forward. Whatever the hell the guy's on the ground for, or, you know, leaned over the car or in cuffs, whatever he did or whatever the situation is, where is that thing that exists in most people's head where we come to a point and say that's good, so we don't cross the line and go to what they call brutality, where you're freaking insane, where you've got major problems and you deserve to go straight to jail and let the freaking inmates handle you. I mean, I'm all for due process and all of that, you know, but in some situations you're like, Jesus, just freaking let that guy, that dude is done. He is done. He will be taken care of one way or the other. And, you know, I would love in a way to ask that cat, what the hell were you thinking? Was he not thinking? Was he just too hyped up and he didn't know how to stop? Like, or was this deep rooted racism and he enjoyed, you know, pressing against this guy's neck? I don't know. It does matter because we can't change it until we do know these things, but you almost don't want to give a guy like that airtime. So I just hope justice kicks in and, you know, people like that head off to another land, and let's get somebody who prosecutes the shit out of him. So anyway, totally different kind of decision is happening, and it's coming out of a unlikely source, perhaps a very off the nose kind of guy, Kevin Hart. I listened to his new book Decision, and he released it through, I think it's called Audible. And so I thought this was super cool, you know, to hear him tell the story. I mean, I've never really listened to audiobooks or books in the car or things like that, right? A serious listener, or otherwise it's my phone listening to YouTube and stuff like that. So, but to hear him, you know, speaking the words. And so this book is Kevin Hart, the life coach, right? How that's off the nose, right? I mean, I love this. I mean, he's a comedian, he's an actor, but now it's life coach, and it's inspiring, you know, and he's dropping F-bombs and he's talking real shit. He is talking real shit. He didn't come from a silver spoon. You know, he had to work his way up. He failed maybe more times than he succeeded. And, you know, so it's real. You know, I have to say, I won't name names, but I want to name names, but I won't name names. There are so many TED Talkers and YouTube channels now and podcasts of people who want to be life coach, inspiring speakers, blah, blah, blah. All they're doing is words. It's just like, bah, 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 bah. Words. What's your experience that gave you the platform or the credibility to be able to coach me or anybody else? And so there's a lot of that out there. If that bullshit works for you, great. It's kind of like church. Whatever works for y'all, do it. I'm all about it. No judgment here. But for me, authenticity, and if somebody who walked the walk and then they want to share with me their walk, and they're not going to tell me that I need to walk their walk, they're just going to tell me about their walk, and maybe I get some bit of inspiration out of that, I love that. That is so off the nose to me and awesome. So this book is cool. It's his voice. It's his experience. It's specific examples. It's some cool, you know, cheeky shit, you know, 1 through 6, here's what you could do, here's what I did. But it's not preachy. I wouldn't call it preachy. So I loved it. And then I listened to a bunch of interviews by Kevin, and you know, he was just making some good points. He's also out there doing this thing with JP Morgan Chase, and this is pretty funny. He wanted to do this give back, and he was thinking about what was missing, you know, from his childhood. What tools did he not have that could have maybe made his path a little easier, right? Kind of connects with this writing this book and stuff, and life coach and what kids need. And so specific to Black communities, for sure, is how he was thinking. And he was like, you know, I went to JP Morgan. He goes, I don't need, like, if JP Morgan, and we're talking, you know, white guys in suits, all right, we're just going to put it out there. Those guys going into Black communities, that doesn't work. These are Kevin Hart's words, right? That doesn't work. You listen and are more apt to be inspired by people who look like you or talk like you or really understand your environment, okay? And so, you know, I can have empathy and understanding about lots of different situations because I feel like I'm an aware type of person, right? That doesn't mean I have any business trying to preach about that environment or situation. And so, excuse me. So I get it. You know, I get why he does that. I mean, look, any help is good for any communities needing help. But, you know, he wanted to go in as him, as somebody who came from these environments. And so JP Morgan apparently is working with him and they're going in with like-minded people to talk to young, you know, Black kids, teenagers, you know, and younger, and talk to them about finances and talk to them about, you know, what real life is going to look like. What's that path going to look like? Because we don't all have a lot of mentors. And, you know, for the record, I don't think this is just a Black thing. I think this is missing in general from our, you know, schools. I hate to put everything on schools. My sister's a teacher and she's like, seriously, we have to teach sex education. We have to discipline. Now we have to teach about finances. Like, what the fuck else do you want us to do? But yes, I think schools should do this. The reason is it's just the way society is set up, right? This is a safe place, so to speak. We send our kids for a certain amount of time once we go back to school. And so as much as you can pack into that, we don't know the environment they're going back home to. And so we can't count on that. So what else are we supposed to do? Sure, after school communities, boys and girls clubs, things like that can also do this. But going and talking to kids about a checkbook and how to get a job and, you know, what's important in life. And there is a whole long list of things that we probably all should know how to do by the time we're 18. We don't, okay? Myself included. But we all should probably know how to do this. Now, you know, I grew up in a great environment, middle class, Buckeye girl from Ohio. I had entrepreneur parents, not big on academia. You know, they didn't go to college and so forth, but I had a very middle class upbringing. And so I had mentors in my life and we talked about business and we talked about life, but I still didn't have this, you know, finance 101 kind of class. And I freaking struggled. You know, when I graduated college, I was on my own and I didn't know how to balance a checkbook. I didn't understand rent and utilities. I was like, those aren't optional. You know, can I pay late? Can I ignore you and it will go away? I mean, all of those options I tried. I might have, you know, even tried to get more money out of the ATM than was really in there. You know, just lots of dumb shit because nobody had talked to me about money. I just thought you go get a job and then you figure it all out. Well, it's not quite that easy. The other thing Kevin's talking about, which I love and I'm trying to do with my own kids, is investing. Like, how do you grow your money? You know? And you know, he says the Black community doesn't ever think like that. They don't think about growing their money. It's enough just that they got to go get a job and figure that out because life's freaking hard, right? And but he wants to talk to them and say, no, you everyone, every one of you, every one of us can think about growing our money and investing our money from the very beginning. It doesn't matter where you're working. If you're flipping burgers at Shake Shack or working in at a gas station or, you know, manager at a bank or an executive or chef or whatever, it doesn't matter. Everybody can learn how to grow their money. And how do you do that? And it's little bits at a time and just the exposure to that. So I just, it sounds like I'm stalking Kevin Hart, kind of am. I love him. I love his realness. I love how he talks. He speaks to me, even though I'm not Black and I didn't grow up like him. I still find inspiration from him. And for me, if I can get a nugget, it was worth it. And so he is just awesome because he's made a lot of money. He could just keep on cracking jokes or really not do a goddamn thing if he doesn't want to and go on, you know, yachts in the Mediterranean. He certainly earned it, but he is giving back and certainly he's making money off the book. Yeah, of course, but he doesn't have to do this topic, right? And so I think the topic comes from the heart. And, you know, he said something like, I have all these experiences and I tried stuff that didn't work and tried stuff that did work. What am I going to die with it in my head? And I love that. It's like, no, share it in some cool way. So hats off to Kevin Hart. I mean, I do hope my sister's listening and we get this back in schools. She's definitely checked out by now. As soon as I said that, she's like, done. She's flipped over to Rogan or somebody else. Anyway, we do need it in schools, right? I mean, so we should push for this kind of stuff. I mean, home ec and balancing a checkbook and knowing how to change a light bulb and, you know, change a tire and cook and laundry and I don't know what else, but all of these sew, my God, I don't know how to sew a button on. Seriously, I mean, truth, right here, right now. Don't need a Bible. I don't know how to sew a button on. Okay? We started the show with my domestic ability. I have improved. I evolve. I would say I'm more resourceful than better at things domestic. I am very resourceful, and I know how to find somebody who can sew a button on. However, I wish I knew how to sew a button on. So it's on the list, you know, 500 things that I still want to do. But man, what would it look like if we all had a little more sense about us with some just basic shit? So anyway, I think making decisions, we can make really bad decisions. And we saw one of those made this week. I think Kevin Hart's book, I'm not getting paid to promote Kevin Hart's book, by the way, so don't even start with that. But just finding inspiration wherever you can find it, how to make good decisions, whatever age you are and wherever you are in life, and hearing it from somebody who talks real. I mean, if Kevin Hart can't motivate us, we're freaking screwed, is kind of how I see it. But anyway, that's it for today. Have a great day, guys. Until next time. Better change up your perspective. It's something new.